The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. I started preaching a little over 29 years ago in the spring of my first year of seminary. I didn't do a lot of it at first. A few sermons to my peers in preaching class, occasional supply preaching gigs at local churches that didn't celebrate communion every Sunday and so didn't need an ordained pastor to lead worship. As I began preaching more regularly during my internship in Nebraska, I began making a separate manila folder for each Sunday and each festival in the three-year lectionary cycle. I keep my past sermons in those folders, of course, and any pictures, magazine articles, bulletin clip art, or cartoons I referred to. Sometimes I make notes for the next time I'll be preaching on the texts and include copies of other people's sermons I thought were interesting or insightful. After all these years of accumulating material, imagine my surprise when I pulled my sermon folder for today, also known as Lectionary 12 of Year A of the Revised Common Lectionary, and found it completely empty. By some quirk of fate, for almost three decades, I have escaped ever having to preach on this passage from the 10th chapter of Matthew. Alas, my luck has run out. I think the 16 verses I just read a few moments ago are a hot mess. Many Sundays of the church year, our gospel text is what we might describe as fairly self-contained. We hear a story about Jesus' earthly ministry, that time Jesus went up to the top of a mountain and was transfigured, or that time he healed 10 lepers or fed 5,000 people with just a bit of bread and fish. Other Sundays, we hear a story about a story. Just think of the wonderful tales Jesus told the crowds around him of good Samaritans, prodigal sons, shepherds who left entire flocks behind to find lost sheep, rich men who built bigger barns to hold all their stuff. These are Jesus' parables, and like the stories about the healings and miracles he performed during his ministry, they have a beginning, a middle, an end, and a point. Today, though, our gospel begins by referring to the relationship of slave and master. Disturbing imagery for us 21st century Americans. Then Beelzebul, also known as Satan. Then we heard about secrets and disclosures, whispers and proclamations, being killed, sparrows, as in the bird, Jesus bringing a sword rather than peace, terrible family division, household members becoming foes, and finally taking up the cross, an instrument of humiliating death. Got it? Makes perfect sense, right? Well, it makes at least a little more sense if we take a look at when these words were spoken and to whom. Jesus has been on the scene for quite a while now by this point in the Gospel of Matthew. He's been traveling far and wide, healing and preaching. His fame has spread, and great crowds are coming from all over to follow him. Jesus has offered these great crowds an extended set of teachings we call the Sermon on the Mount. You might remember, the Sermon on the Mount includes everything from the Beatitudes, those blessings of the poor in spirit, the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, to explanations of how God's people are to live. We are to let our light shine, turn the other cheek, love our enemies, pray to our Father in heaven. After Jesus comes down off the mount, he begins a very intense time of healing. Many, many people are touched and changed by Jesus' power to give sight, by his power to loosen the tongue of the mute, to restore withered, useless limbs. But as many as Jesus heals, the crowds just keep coming. The sick, the possessed, the lame, the broken, they just keep coming. We heard last week about Jesus' compassion for those crowds. He is deeply, deeply moved by all the people seeking his help, according to Matthew. And so Jesus enlists the aid of his apostles. We aren't told how Simon and Andrew, James and John, and the rest of the 12 reacted when Jesus said, "I'm giving you, each of you, authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every illness and sickness. Go, heal." Knowing how human those men were, how clueless sometimes, how obtuse, I imagine the apostles becoming rather alarmed. Who, us? You want to send us out without you to fight demons, raise the dead, and announce God's kingdom? Really? Now, we might expect a pep talk from Jesus at this point. Yes, my friends, really. You'll be fine. It'll be great. But there is no pep talk. Instead, Jesus offers a lengthy warning about exactly how difficult ministry in his name will be. The second half of that warning is our gospel for today. Understand, Jesus tells the 12, if they call me your master, Beelzebul, they're going to call you worse. Shout the good news. Be bold to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven comes. Don't fear, for they may kill your body. They can't kill the souls of those who follow me. No, this will be a time of confrontation and turmoil, when even families will be divided, those who acknowledge me set against those who deny me. Strangely harsh words, aren't they? From the same one called at his birth the Prince of Peace. Strangely harsh words from the same one who welcomed little children and blessed them, who regularly spoke of reconciliation and forgiveness, who compared himself to a mother hen gathering her chicks under her wings, who promised that his yoke would be easy and his burden light. Many of the apostles to whom those harsh words of warning were first spoken did end up suffering for their faith in Jesus. The communities of faith they planted were harassed and persecuted. Christians over the millennia since have chosen to die rather than renounce the Lord. They have taken up the cross and still do. In too many places around the world, even this very day, sharing the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, gathering for a meal of bread and wine can get you martyred. You and I likely will never be put in that position. We are privileged in so very many ways, including living in a country where we can worship God without risking much of anything. But like those first apostles long ago, we are still called to make Jesus a priority, the priority in our lives. We're called to honor Jesus' claim on us, a claim that comes before any other identity we have, before any other relationship, any other label, any other attachment. For when Jesus is our everything, we, his brothers and sisters, can do amazing things. We can love and serve and forgive and hope. We can pray and welcome and feed and visit. We can rejoice, give thanks, help others to grow in faith and in fellowship. What are you going to do?